Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All the time. Like your email every 10 seconds. Or your ex's Instagram. But what about checking something as important as your credit? Well, Discover makes it quick, easy, and best of all, free. Discover is now offering FICO credit scores, the score used by 90% of top lenders for free, even if you're not a customer. Checking your score won't hurt your credit, and you can check each month for changes always for free. The Discover Credit Scorecard, free for everyone. Learn more at discover.com/creditscorecard. Limitations apply.
It all starts with just one thing. Don't buy plastic toys for your pet. Look for either natural materials like cotton, rope, wood, or bamboo, or make toys out of old shirts, socks, or towels. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Strange days. I think somebody very accurately said, if you turned on cable news footage these days, it looks like outtakes from the latest Joker movie. I mean, it is just a dystopian existence, kind of, you know, dropped right on our heads. It is unbelievable. To talk about it, Dave Zirin, the sports editor over at The Nation. He is a host of the Edge of Sports podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Edge of Sports. I've been a fan of his for a very, very long time. He's good enough to join us here. Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7. There's an awful lot to talk about, and we certainly want to start with an explosive interview that he had with Spurs head coach Greg Popovich as he pulled no punches. And who better to diagnose real leadership or an absence thereof than a guy like Greg Popovich, who knows a little about leadership. Dave, thank you very much for joining us here once again on our station in San Francisco. It's good to have you on. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
How did you get this interview with Greg Popovich? Do you guys have a relationship that predated this? He was really comfortable telling you how he felt about situations.
Yeah, it goes back a few years. Greg Popovich had the idea to invite John Carlos, who was one of the two people who raised their fist at the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City, to come address the Spurs. And I wrote John Carlos's memoir with him, and we usually do like presentations together.
San Jose State's finest.
What's that? I'm sorry?
San Jose State's finest, right? That's where he trained.
Yes, absolutely. San Jose State, Speed City, baby. And so we went up there and actually addressed the team, the Spurs team, and Popovich, showed us around, and we sat in on practice. I even, got Popovich's game notes and stuffed them in my pants before I left, because he left them on the chair. But that's, just between us. It was good. And then we just started talking and kept up a relationship. He called me up a couple years back out of the blue, because he had things to say about another thing that Trump did, and that article went out and did well. But with this one, again, he called me at midnight and said, I really have some things I want to say. And I said, hey, let's do it.
Given the fact that you've had a number of conversations with him over the years, how was his demeanor this time different than the other times? Was he more agitated? Was he angrier? Was his tone different?
Yeah, it was. That's a great question, and it's something I've been thinking about a lot. Because usually you know, Pop does this kind of like gruff, humorous uncle kind of a thing, you know, where he, you know, makes a joke, sort of busts your beans a little bit and then pats you on the back and laughs. And that's sort of his style. This time he was dead serious from the beginning. I mean, there was really nothing other than a real sense of frustration on his part. And anger, and but the anger was like kept in check. I mean, he was seething with it. He was really upset. He'd been under his skin. I had the feeling he'd wanted to say something for a while, but that didn't come out. And it is very interesting that the Spurs, I believe, are the only team, along I believe with the Knicks, who haven't issued any kind of a statement since all this began. And that, of course, is the job of ownership, not the job of Popovich. But it really did seem like he was really raring to say something.
There was a story that Tom Ziller did today, and I think you linked it out, about how Juliana Holt, who is now the owner of the Spurs, is probably, if not the biggest donor to Donald Trump's campaigns, but certainly among the most aggressive. And the fact that she hasn't put out a statement yet, never muzzles Popovich, seems like an odd relationship for employer-employee to have.
Yeah, because in a lot of respects, he's bigger than the franchise itself. I mean, it's like the idea of forcing out Popovich, I mean, would be like, you know, forcing out the Statue of Liberty and sending it back to France, although some might argue we're...
Yeah, I think we're doing that right now, actually, but continue. Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe that's for July. But it's interesting because we did an event with Popovich and Cornell West for public school students a couple of years ago. It was closed to the press. It was just for these students. It was pretty amazing. And the entire Spurs team was there. And in the back was Peter Holt, the owner of the team, the governor or whatever you want to call it. I mean, he's standing in the back of the arena taking in Cornell West, and he's a dyed-in-the-wool Republican. But now he's no longer in charge. And so there is this tension at work there, I think, that we should keep an eye on going forward. I really do.
Greg Popovich, while it's wonderful to see him say these things, it's certainly not a surprise. And I think we're very lucky out here to have a coach for the Warriors who's in a similar cut from a similar cloth and willing to say similarly righteous things. How do you have a sense for how far out ahead they are from the rest of the league and what, you know, those two guys say about the league's stance on these issues and vice versa?
Well, these guys are close. You know, they talk to each other. Pop mentioned to me before he called me on the phone that Kerr was one of the people he'd been talking to that day. He made a big point to mention Steve Kerr and another coach who really has a ton of his respect, the young coach of the Atlanta Hawks, Lloyd Pierce. And so he's in contact with those guys and talking to them throughout the day. So it seems like they're and he mentioned a couple other folks as well. So it seems like even if Kerr and Pop are the most vocal of the NBA community, that they've developed a kind of team amongst themselves of people who really are talking and arguing with each other and trying to figure out the best way forward and how best to leverage their platform as well as the platform of the NBA to make positive change.
Dave Zirin joining us here on 95.7 The Game. And one of the things that you do, one of the things that I enjoy pointing out is clear examples of hypocrisy. And it really feels like the NFL looking to talk about peaceful ways to protest police violence is a few dollars way too late hitting the table. I mean, like, they had this, and to keep with football jargon, they totally punted on the concept of peacefully protesting police violence. When you see Roger Goodell tweet about it, what makes your eyes roll faster, Goodell or the Washington Redskins renouncing racism?
Well, come on. I live right in the D.C. area, so I got to go with Washington, the burgundy and gold over here. I mean, the legacy and history of that name is it's rooted with their original owner, George Preston Marshall, and his belief that the team should be all white and that the team should be named a slur. I mean, people don't talk about that, but it was part of like one racist worldview that he had. that included anti-black and anti-native sentiment. And so the idea that it should be changed is just long, long overdue. And they might have, Dan Snyder might have been better off saying nothing. But as for Goodell, I mean, that is one slippery character, because they even make it more difficult to protest in the new CBA that they did with the union. And so to do that and then say this, it's not just four-year-old hypocrisy with Colin Kaepernick. It is like the immediate hypocrisy of them trying to keep a lid on the players in the league.
Is there a dynamic that you see coming out of these times that maybe makes it commercially necessary for the league or any league to change its stance on that? Because there's still most of the statements from teams have been pretty pro forma. You know, you sort of, most of them try to avoid saying George Floyd's name. And I wonder if the current rage across the country will force them to realize that this is a bad idea commercially as well as everything else, because commercial is the only language they truly understand.
That's a great point, and a great observation, too. I think where this is going to push them, and they will resist this push, is actually having to open up their pocketbooks and not just be content with putting out memes and slogans and internet drivel. Because one of the things that I think is going to be raised when it comes to talking about these franchise owners is how much public funds in our cities have been driven towards publicly funded stadiums. In D.C., we're talking several $1 billion in sports stadiums that were paid for out of the public till. It's been a substitute for anything resembling an urban policy in D.C. for decades, stadium building. And so there's going to be a real question that's raised about, like, okay, you've taken money out of these communities. What are you now going to put back in? And slogans aren't going to be enough.
We've spent the last couple months talking about, you know, whether players will feel properly incentivized or even want to return to play in the face of a global pandemic. Given particularly in the NBA and NFL, the percentage of African-American players just making up the body of the sport, how much do you expect, or have you talked to anybody who might have mentioned that guys might be less inclined to go back and play given the state of things in the country right now?
Well, Ray Ratto wrote a very interesting column about this today. Got to name check that. They got a lot of good responses about
that illiterate boob.
About whether players actually should just say no to these as a form of protest. But when you're talking about players, I mean, it's more like, from what I hear, it's much more rooted in the pandemic and the kind of carnival-esque atmosphere that it's going to be. I mean, going down to play at, the ESPN World Center in Orlando, that it's just like the idea of it isn't attractive to some players. I mean, the risks of going there, getting hurt, the risks of whatever you accomplish, it being seen as illegitimate. It's there's not a lot of incentive to do it, other than money, of course. And, you know, the ones who've taken care of themselves are less inclined to do it.
Dave Zirin here on 95.7 The Game, talking about the crazy world that we're kind of living in right now, how sports fits in the crazy world that we're living in right now. And you said, Dave, that you are based in Washington, D.C. What is the reality in that city right now? Because we're only privy to what camera lenses show us. And, you know, remaining skeptical about everything you see is a very healthy way to approach media. Interpreting it all as false is an incredibly destructive way to, you know, healthy skepticism is good. Never believing anything is bad. What is D.C. like tonight?
Well, tonight there are over 100,000 people in the streets of D.C. We're already past the 7 o'clock curfew here, being 3 hours ahead of y'all. And so we're going to have to see what happens tonight. I'll tell you, the issue yesterday with the gassing of the protesters, I had one of those moments that you just described of knowing that the official story is not the reality that I know from living here. I mean, it was almost like that, the scenes in Running Man where they edit the footage so Arnold Schwarzenegger looks like a villain, It was like this, I had this experience today because Marco Rubio tweeted out that those protesters should have been gassed because they're not real protesters. They're just professional agitators. They're basically enemy combatants or whatever, you know. And like two of the people down there who got gassed are high school students in my wife's classroom. She's a teacher out here. And so that he's calling a couple of 17-year-old kids, you know, that I know, as if they're like these 35-year-old professional agitators. But, you know, here's a U.S. senator saying this, and me knowing it's not true. And it's very scary when they feel so safe to do things like that. And if they'll do it about something small like that, you know they're going to do it about something big.
I didn't know that agitators had to get a paycheck to become pros, first of all. secondly, is this different based on your conversations with John Carlos and Tommy Smith? Does this have a different feel than 1968 or 1967 or 1966? Does this, and in what way is it different? Because I think it is, but I'm not sure I've been able to get my hands around why.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big things, I mean, this is something that talking to John Carlos that came up was more white people, basically, to put it bluntly, more multiracial, more Latino people, more Asian American Pacific Islander people. I mean, it's just like the multicultural nature of this uprising is something that I don't think is being talked about enough. I mean, the fact that it feels as much like a generational uprising as anything else, a generation that finds itself with less opportunity, finds itself unemployed, and finds itself, you know, when they try to talk about the incredible debt they've incurred, are told not to eat avocado toast. I mean, so you're seeing that surge up right now. I think that's a big difference. And I also think in terms of how things are communicated, I mean, the entire country was privy to police brutality and misconduct in real time. And that's, of course, very different from 68, like to be able to see what's happening. Like in 68, before the Olympics in Mexico City, hundreds, if not several thousand workers and students were killed in Mexico City to cleanse the city for the Olympic Games. People down there at the Olympics didn't even know that it had happened. Or they had heard a story that, oh, a couple dozen people were arrested. I mean, so you could have that level of misinformation in the context of a massacre. I just think there's obviously we're living much more where we're seeing it play out in real time.
Dave, thank you very much, man. The point that we were making yesterday is Big Brother in the Orwellian world that we live in. It's a good way to describe it. Yet at the same time, people have power of television stations in their phone. And we, exactly. You know, Kent State was maybe, you know, in another lifetime, the worst abuse of overzealous power against the peaceful protest. And Kent State was framed in a generation's mind, thanks to a great song by Crosby, Stills, Nash, and one black and white picture. We haven't got a great song out of this, but man, we got 4K HD footage from 360 degrees. And that's a big difference.
Got some crazy pictures, no doubt.
Thank you so much for joining us. I actually wanted to end with a question that I'm so old, I remember COVID-19, Dave. So I would like to ask you a question because I know you're not a fan of the Olympics and what it does to towns and countries that say yes to the Olympics. How ironic do you find it, though, that Japan, which had the money to pay for it, which was as prepared as any city has ever been. They were even saying we could do this now, months early if we had to, that they're the ones who are going to miss the first Olympics since the World War.
It's pretty stunning. I mean, I was in Tokyo last summer to do some reporting about what I was seeing on the ground. And yes, you had the level of preparedness that you describe. And yes, they were, I mean, getting ready for a kind of celebration that I really think would have knocked people on their behinds. But there were other problems, too. I went to Fukushima, and there were just like garbage bags filled with toxic waste that are built so high that people refer to them as hills and mountains. So there was a lot there that
that was ugly, that was under the carpet. Like a lot of displacement of people, lots of
as there always will
surveillance.
Be.
And there always will be. You're absolutely right about that. But I was particularly touched when I met people who'd been displaced for the 1964 Olympics when they were children, and they were just displaced again for the 2020 Games.
Wow. Dave, I got to tell you, in a world with too many small J journalists, you're a capital J journalist. Appreciate your work. Thank you very much, and keep it up.
Oh, thank you so much.
Dave Zirin, Edge of Sports. He's a great follow on Twitter. If you're not, I really recommend that you do, at Edge of Sports.
Guys, he's written some really good books as well.
Yeah, conscientious, man. He's a conscientious objector in a world that needs a smart person in the conversation. He's a smart person in the conversation. Our conversation, well, how about this? We wanted to have a conversation today with Emmanuel Acho. Did you see his video that he put out? It was really something else. The reason why we couldn't have Emmanuel on is because he actually joined the midday show. We got some excellent sound from him that we'd like to play for you here today. I'm sorry, what's that? Video sound is what we have. Oh, we took it from... I thought he was on the midday show. Was he unable to join the midday show?
I have both. He was on the midday show. I've cut from that, but I'm also saying I have the one that he had on Twitter and a new podcast that he's putting out on Twitter.
Okay. Well, we want to hear what we got because the guy had an awful lot to say, and it's some valuable, valuable stuff to share with us. It's something that we're going to get to in just a little bit. Again, we're trying to find the right balance, and I hope we struck it today of the consciousness of what is going on in the country as opposed to what it is we are here to do long before the world started burning down in a lot of different directions. This is a sports talk station, and this is a sports talk show, and we do want to weave sports into the conversation. The NBA found itself wove back into the conversation this afternoon. A series of tweets, Adrian Wojnarowski basically said that a 22-team format has been essentially agreed upon. A little bit later this week, I guess they're going to be taking official votes. But it's going to happen at Disney. And it looks like it's going to happen between the timeline of the day we're all going to start this is July 31st. Which is 2 months from now. And they want to have, if the NBA Finals went seven games, they would like to see the seventh game of the NBA Finals played on October 12th. That feels like a timeline that if they started today would be tough to meet if things went well. And it feels like that with the time that they're going to insist upon to ramp up to this season, there's going to be no pulling out of this should something go wrong. They haven't left themselves any time for wiggle room should we see a second spike of concern if COVID-19. And, you know, they might be under the guise of, hey, if we're in a bubble and the rest of the world's spiking and it doesn't affect us, it doesn't affect us.
I think that's exactly what it is. It's the plan would be to keep playing through a second wave, provided that the second wave doesn't penetrate the little, area that they've created for themselves. Because I don't think it's going to be a full bubble. You know, it's going to be bubble-esque, but I don't think we're talking about everyone being quarantined that whole time. It's sort of a partial bubble, and I don't know if that will work. I do think the thing you're absolutely right about is there's not wiggle room. So it seems to me like if this is the plan, there will be no such thing as a second hiatus. If it has to shut down at any point, that's it. Say goodbye to the season, which is, you know, kind of a risky thing given all that we've established about how important those playoff dollars are to these leagues.
Well, I mean, it would have to be, one, they would have to pull the plug on it, and it almost indicates that there's no way that they'd be interested in starting a new season much before Christmas, if not after the new year.
I think that's got to be the plan.
Yeah, there's no way, and this is, I think that's the plan, is to start the new season right around there. In either event, if the second wave happens early enough and they just say, okay, we have no playoffs this year, just that's it. And then you've still got enough sort of lead time to get into next season. Because if you go much beyond Christmas or New Year's, then you're talking essentially about truncating a second season. Because I don't know that they want to go all summer long a second time. Because at some point you're going to have to figure out a way to make up that time so that you can have a full season. So that's what it sounds like to me. But I guess we'll find out more on Thursday. I also find the idea that they really need those six other spots. And I'd be curious to know
As opposed to 16 teams? Is that what you're saying?
Just going straight 16 and operating it with, you know, fewer complications and fewer arguments about formatting and stuff. And I wonder, and I'd have to look this up, and I wonder how many of the additional six teams have issues with their regional money that is making essentially, making the league want to go to 22 teams and finish off a regular season.
Since we're talking a little NBA right here, when we come on back, the unthinkable has happened. Knicks owner James Dolan actually got worse at his job today. We're going to frame that for you. Grant Napier lost his job up in Sacramento today. We'll come back and look at that developing story as well. There are some interesting things happening in the world of sports. The rest of the world around us is much more interesting and much more important, and we see that and we acknowledge it, and we will hear some sound to examine that when we come on back here. Don't you move a muscle. We got a Tuesday trifecta also coming up next hour. Thank you very much for joining us today. We've officially shifted our text line to a brand new number that just matches the number that you would use to call the show. Our phone number is 888-957-9570. And just like anybody else whose phone number that you know, that is now our text line number as well. So you can just go ahead and call us at 888-957-9570, or you can text us now at 888-957-9570. Either way, we want to hear from you. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, still open to serve the community that they love with full-service banking and no compromises.
Hi, this is Matt Jesse, president of MB Jesse Painting, and I have some great news. We are back. My team of over 50 amazing painters is ready to do what we do best, providing awesome painting services for homes and businesses throughout the Bay Area. We are committed to doing every job safely and on time. Contact us today for your free painting estimate. Call 855-MB-JESSE or visit us online at mbjesse.com.
MB Jesse.
An irresistibly delicious journey has taken flight, and it's bringing the flavors of Mexico to you. At Chavez Supermarket, we have the best quality products to bring out the authentic flavors of our roots. At Chavez Taqueria, our homestyle meals are prepared daily. Our carne asada, chicken, and al pastor are flame broiled, and our salsas are made from scratch. Chavez Supermarket, the choice for flavor and quality.
Sabor del bueno.
Visit us at ChavezSuper.com.
In that tiny little corner of South America that reaches east toward Africa is Pariba, Brazil.
Ader Dimas Barbosa knew there was treasure hidden in Pariba.
And he was determined to find it.
But not even Barbosa was prepared for the wonder he found in 1989.
A Pariba tourmaline is 10,000 times more rare than a diamond.
And they are dazzling.
Neon turquoise.
Neon green.
And neon blue.
Most people will live their whole lives and never see one.
But those who have seen its neon glow will never forget it.
Everyone who sees it will ask,
what is that?
Shreve and Company exists to bring you the rare.
The exotic.
And the beautiful.
And nothing is more rare.
Nothing is more exotic.
And nothing is more beautiful.
Than the dazzling neon glow of a Pariba tourmaline.
From that tiny little corner of South America.
That reaches east toward Africa.
In Brazil.
Shreve and Company.
Shreve and Company.
Has this ever happened to you? I wasn't feeling great, so I searched my symptoms on Google, and now I'm being followed by really uncomfortable ads. I hate feeling like my personal information is being bought and sold. I got DuckDuckGo and saw a difference right away. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers, all for free. It's that simple. Take back your privacy online with DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
For the ones we trust to always be there. For the ones caring for others. For the ones who keep things going, no matter where they are. In extraordinary times, extraordinary people step up, like the ones standing guard and standing on the front lines. And the ones who are staying apart while still working together. With your efforts, we will get through this. We're grateful for all you do. Visit Grainger.com for resources that can help as you create your recovery plan. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I had cancer for the fourth time.
I have bipolar disorder.
I was hit by a car.
I have a rare disease.
I have Down syndrome.
Children's health care in the United States is severely underfunded.
We can't wait while the debate over a funding solution continues.
Kids can't wait. Give to the Children's Miracle Network Hospital's COVID-19 Impact Fund. Text CHILD to 51555. CHILD to 51555.
Hi, I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect.
Welcome to the
first, and a reminder that
welcome
no
to the first of hopefully many.
There's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
The motto for world-class competition has always been faster, higher, stronger. It's the same for Navien, makers of condensing tankless water heaters. Faster to install and set up. Higher performance and efficiency to provide endless hot water. Stronger with the industry's strongest warranty. All because of the copper-free stainless steel heat exchanger built in every unit. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contractor at tanklessmadesimple.com. That's tanklessmadesimple.com.
When you have frequent heartburn, antacid relief only lasts for a few hours. Prilosec OTC stops heartburn before it begins and lasts a full 24 hours. Its unique delayed release formula blocks heartburn at the source. With just one pill a day, you get 24-hour heartburn protection. Make the switch today. Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible while taking Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7, The Game.
Thanks so much for joining us today. It is good to have you here. I guess Van Lathan will be joining us tomorrow, a little bit later this week. Not today, unfortunately. We are going to have a Tuesday trifecta that we're going to invite you to be a part of. We're going to have some positive conversation, hopefully, surrounding the Tuesday trifecta coming up at 5:30 today. Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky here on 95.7, The Game. James Dolan really has done the unthinkable, guys. We went over this a little bit earlier, but for those who are just joining us, you know, whether or not you believe sports and politics should intersect, it really doesn't matter whether or not you believe it, because it has happened. Whether you want to acknowledge it doesn't stop it from being a real tangible thing now that everyone else is pretty much realizing is a reality. And to try to ignore the reality is to choose a level of ignorance because you're uncomfortable. You know, a level of conversation like this isn't what you signed up for. You're here for the bubblegum, not the substance, and you're uncomfortable with it, and you didn't sign up for uncomfortable, so I don't like it. Okay, like, I guess I get that. Even though I don't agree with that sentiment, I understand that. What I don't understand is that if it were in your best interest to appear reasonably compassionate to a subject, why you wouldn't just do that again, because it's in your best business interest. It is in the best business interest of James Dolan and the New York Knicks to look out at the world they see and address it compassionately, not decide, we don't have a real position on this, therefore no comment. If no comment were your comment about this, please don't put out a comment. But James Dolan did indeed do that. He said, you know, sports and politics, really not my thing, not the thing for the New York Knicks. And again, even if he believes that in his heart of hearts, why you would get behind that publicly, knowing that it's bad for business, knowing that you cannot sell your team, which apparently, rumoredly, has the largest stage that any athlete can perform on, and you can't find an athlete of consequence to sign with your franchise in the last 20 years, basically. It's something else.
Yeah, I mean, you're right that the whole idea of separating sports and politics is a laughable notion, and all you need to know is that they play the national anthem before every game, and they have flyovers over a lot of NFL and college football games. Politics, right.
Military appreciation night, police appreciation night, it's all there.
Well, okay, but that doesn't bother me so much. It's the omnipresent notion that comes also with the city owes me a stadium, and now we're going to work out the ways that I can hijack the city's finances to get that stadium. That's politics, too. So politics and sports are neck deep with business and sports. They are not separable. And I think the fact that things are going on now the way they're going on, and by the way, France is on fire. I don't know if you want to look at your laptops at the next quiet moment, but yeah, they're going whole hog. I think the notion that sports is an island has clearly been brought to its knees once and for all, first by the virus and now this. And you don't get to sit it out anymore without looking not just disingenuous, but pigheadedly stupid, unless your decision not to say anything is based in politics and the kind of politics that is dependent on the goodwill of the White House. Because it is interesting that the only other NBA team to say nothing and offer nothing has been San Antonio, where Juliana Hult is Donald Trump's, if not largest supporter in terms of money, certainly in terms of ardor. It's that decision that James Dolan is making strikes me as someone who needs a relationship with the White House for whatever business reason he has, but because it makes no sense otherwise. And if it doesn't make any sense, the rule is follow the money.
I'm just not sure there's any excuse for it's. It's just I don't know how to process the fact that the way to align yourself with the White House is not to speak out against horrifying violence against people of color. Like what?
Right. What does that say?
How is that the world that we're in? It's really hard for me to fathom. As much as I've been fully aware of this problem and aware of America's overall failure to deal with it, and I am by no means asleep, I don't think, on the racial issues in this country, and yet it's somewhat staggering to me that we are here, where the president is behaving the way he has, and people who want to curry favor with the White House are the way to do that is to be racist. It's
let's kiss the ring. No dissension. It's that is the mandate. Declare your fiefdom, and you know.
Well, right, but it's also the fact that the cause that you're declaring your fiefdom to is racism. I mean, that's staggering to me. I didn't think so many people would cross that line. I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL did it 3 years ago, and I think
for fun, practically.
Yeah, and I think that is where a lot of billionaires' heads are. It's just, you know, he's the president. I'm doing great. What's the problem? I think that's how they view the world. And maybe some of those are also arch racists on the side. But I'm not surprised that, you know, Jim Dolan takes a pass on this. I just don't know why.
No,
I don't know what the benefit is for him unless it's business based.
No, I think you're right. It's got to be business-based. That's all that makes sense. And I don't think most of these people are out-and-out virulent racists. But, boy, it's shocking or it's at least telling how quickly they're willing to overlook racism to stay on the side of the money.
The desire to hang on to power or have access to it has made so many people compromise choices that they would, you'd think, easily reach if they weren't just overt card carrying, comfortable with racist type of people. And there's no doubt that what is best for the country has been deprioritized by a current administration that has concluded the reelection of this president is worth burning America to the ground for.
That's just weird. If
everyone has to cry your tears, and that's it. There's a liberal tears seems to be a main motivating factor. Not doing what's right, not doing what will be judged historically correct, but whatever generates the most amount of liberal tears today, will do that.
What is the world we've created if that's an effective strategy for re-election? I mean, who knows? We'll see if it is. But I think you're right. That's the idea. But if this is how you do it, my God, how far astray we've gone.
Well, look, it got him elected.
No, you're
Why
right.
Why wouldn't it get him re-elected? I mean,
Fingers
you know, you
crossed.
Pull the lever once and get a pellet, you'll probably pull it twice. Would you ever have assumed that the single most strongly worded and tersest, most hit the bullseye corporate statement? Like, who do you think would get it right?
See, I know where you're going.
In a world of corporate statements, who do you think would nail it?
I know where you're headed, and it's exact. I think it is these guys. That's the thing, is if you followed their track record, they're exactly the guys to do it.
Ben and Jerry's.
I know who you're talking about, too. Yeah.
Ben and Jerry's.
Because they're a couple of Vermont hippies, and their ice cream is so damn good, they're not afraid of crossing people. That's what's happening here. They're like, you're going to deny yourself Ben and Jerry's because you don't like our politics? Sounds like a tough break for you. See ya.
Right. We bet you'll be back, you racist fatty.
Yeah, that's right.
We're delicious, and that's not debatable. So, I have to share the statement.
And then
we're at our top of the hour. Okay, here it is. The murder of George Floyd was the result of inhumane police brutality that is perpetuated by a culture of white supremacy. What happened to George Floyd was not the result of a bad apple. It was the predictable consequence of a racist and prejudiced system, the culture, and the culture that has treated black bodies as the enemy from the beginning. What happened to George Floyd in Minneapolis is the fruit born of toxic seeds planted on the shores of our country in Jamestown, 1619, when the first enslaved men and women arrived on this continent. Floyd is the latest in a long list of names that stretches back through time and to that shore. Some of those names we know: Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, Oscar Grant, Eric Garner, Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Emmett Till, Martin Luther King Jr. Most we don't. Full stop. Not signed by one person, so if anyone were angry at us, they can distance it. It was the one person, not really our company. Signed by no one, representative of everyone in the company, naming the problem, pointing the finger, not passing the buck of responsibility. I mean, if your corporate message about the murder of George Floyd doesn't mention the murder of George Floyd, it wasn't that much of a corporate message to begin with.
Or the police. Any of these things that try to address the murder of George Floyd by police without mentioning both George Floyd and the police, you're doing it wrong. And if you want to, there's even more than that to the Ben and Jerry's statement. They wrote a long statement that is throughout eloquent and smart and thoughtful and I think heartfelt. And I would recommend everyone read it, because it's not just that it's a great corporate statement. It's that I think it paints a good picture of how someone who is rightfully enraged by this situation can articulate themselves.
I will give you if you want to go to a break, go to a break. But then I have a statement.
No break, just top of the hour identification, okay. Darling. That's all. Stick around.
Well, then let me handle that. It's 5 o'clock. There.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
This is from the Tampa Bay Rays and Rowdies. The Rowdies are a soccer team in Tampa. And this is in what we all imagine is the belly of the beast in terms of, you know, racial retrograde behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our country is mourning the killings of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and so many others who have perished unnecessarily. The evils of systemic and institutionalized racism continue to plague our nation. We know that all too often these cases are dismissed or excused without justice being served. Black lives matter. Police brutality is inhumane. We fully support the protesters exercising their civil rights. We stand with...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.